There is only one thing worse than having a serious problem with cancer, and that's having a serious problem with cancer and not knowing about it. And in like manner, there's only one thing worse than having a big problem in your soul. It's having a problem in your soul and not knowing about it. Today, we're going to take a little diagnostic test and see what's going on in our heart and in our soul. You don't want to miss it.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international teaching and discipleship ministry focused on helping Christians live like Christians. Well, in this program, Chip's picking up where he left off last time in our series, Be Strong and Courageous, with the remainder of his talk, I Will Not Be Shaken. But before he gets going, let me encourage you to use Chip's message notes while you listen. They contain his outline, scripture references, and key fill-ins to help you remember what you hear. To download these message notes, go to the Broadcasts tab at livingontheedge.org. App listeners, tap Fill-In Notes. Well, last time, Chip examined how our speech, relationships, values, integrity, and finances reveal our commitment to godly living. Today, he'll delve deeper into those crucial areas with a thorough spiritual evaluation. So if you're ready, go in your Bible to Psalm 15 for the powerful conclusion to Chip's message.
And what I tried to do as I went through this passage and looked at my own speech, my own relationships, my values, do I keep my word or not, and where does my money go, I made a little list of very practical questions. I call it a diagnostic test. And what I like to do is just have you kind of lean back a bit, and if the what ifs that we started with tend to rattle around in your mind and you want to declare, I will not be shaken. I can't control those things out there, but I will not be shaken because I will have the Lord as my front and my rear guard. I will have God's perspective in the midst of whatever circumstance. I will be experiencing His power and His presence. I will have nearness. I won't be wondering, where's God when it all falls apart? Because difficult things are going to come. And He calls us to persevere, to be bold, to be courageous in the midst of those things. So here's some questions I want to ask you that have been very helpful and a bit painful for me. First question is, honestly, in your heart of hearts, are you living a righteous life? Are you honest with yourself, and are you honest with God? And here's where the little indicator. If you find it pretty hard to pray very long or very deeply, if you find yourself very, very busy, if you find that, you know, things are kind of superficial with God and you're sort of catching Him on the run, and when you really, really stop, turn off the TV, there's no Netflix, not even music in the car, and you're quiet, and you feel this dis-ease, this uncomfort. I found that one of the most important things we need to do at times is just pause and say, search me, O God. I feel out of sync. I'm not even sure what's wrong, but I don't have peace, the connection with important people in my life. It's not like it's bad, but I know it's not where you want it to be. I mean, we all live here, and what we tend to do is eat or get busy or medicate. And if you want a life where you can take up the promise, I will never be shaken, I'll be bold and strong and courageous in the midst of whatever, do an honest inventory and just ask God to search your heart on the issues of character. Something that has helped me, because I'm a verbal processor, has been when I have that unrest and I can't quite figure it out, sometimes I just start writing because I don't know what's wrong. But what I know when I'm honest is I don't feel very connected to God. Not like I've sinned or done some terrible thing. I don't feel real connected with people and I don't have peace in my life. And so this was not a very long time ago, but it was a window of time where we were experiencing a leadership challenge and I was not at peace and I was really, really struggling. And I wrote this in my journal on this particular day. Holy Father, I am weary. The dread and the guilt of the blind spot that I've now seen in my life and the negative impact on others feels so discouraging and demotivating. I am in such great need of your mercy, Lord. Much of the dysfunction and problems are of my own making. me trying to fix things in an area that lack leadership. I really don't know the path forward for me. A big part of me wants to just retreat. Now, any of you ever kind of feel like that? I can't tell you how liberating it is to get that from, I'm not sure what's going on, to, man, I'm weary, I'm tired. Some people have pointed some things out. I don't really like what they're saying, but I've taken them to the Lord and they're true. It says, in my most objective moments, I think my greatest strengths are also my greatest weaknesses. I've failed once again in this area, and I seem to repeat some of these leadership mistakes over and over. I've asked for your forgiveness, and I know I've received it. Your hand of favor has been supernaturally on the ministry and on my life, and yet, boy, part of my role and part of this path, I honestly don't know the way forward. It's just not clear to me. Can I tell you something? The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. You know, we can talk about being holy, we can talk about being righteous, we can talk about being blameless, we can talk about our speech. The core of your relationship with God is being honest. Psalm 145:18 is a verse that's just meant a lot to me, especially when I struggle and I know I've blown it. It says, the Lord is near to those who call upon Him. And then here's the condition, to those who call upon Him in truth. I mean, I couldn't figure out what was going on, and I was processing information, and there were some things that weren't going very well. And then I wrote down, kind of like a psalm, I came out the other end, thank you, Jesus, for reminding me this morning through my wife that I'm not in this alone, that you are mindful that I'm human, that you know when I mess up, and that when I come to you like this, that you forgive. You see, if you don't want to be shaken, you can't fake it. So step one is do an honest inventory and just ask God to search your heart on the issues of character. The second is, I would say, this is a tough one. Do a ruthless evaluation of your speech. Jesus said in Luke 6, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man brings forth what is evil. For the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. This has been painful, but helpful. According to Jesus, the words that come out of my mouth, and we'll learn a little bit later where my money goes, are probably the two most objective means of evaluating where you're honestly at in your relationship with God. Because if there's negativity, if there's slander, if there's complaining, if there's whining, if there's blaming, if there's calling other people out, if there's critical words, if there's sarcastic words, passive-aggressive words, thoughtless words. Those are the kind of things that say something's wrong in your heart. And this passage says, if you want to be rock solid with God, he says, first of all, you got to be honest and be a person of character. And I hope the only reason I read my journal, I just want you to know that that's a journey. That doesn't mean you've got it all together. That means when things aren't quite right, you go to God and figure out, what are the issues? Jesus was so clear. He longs for us to be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. But as A.W. Tozer said so wisely, God's desires for us are very great and His expectations are very reasonable. He understands we're human. He understands we struggle. It's when we won't admit it. It's when we lie to ourselves and we start posing and image management. That's when we lose. That's when we lose the relationship. So what does your speech say about you? What comes out of your mouth? People say you're a positive person, an encouraging person. Let me just encourage you to listen. Listen to yourself in conversation. Like, God, I want to know. See, the pure in heart, right? Jesus said, the pure in heart see God. And you can know what's going on in your heart when you do a little analysis of your words. Third is some probing examination of your loyalty. I think one of the things that's happened in our world of media, and don't let me put this on you, but I have found myself like watching a movie, and because of the way it gets set up, there's like this guy treating his wife like dirt, and so she decides to have an affair, and I find myself rooting for someone who's really doing some things that are really bad and really wrong. This isn't taking me down a great path. What goes into our mind, what we admire? Ask yourself, what kind of movies do you watch? What excites you? See, over time, little by little, you can find yourself rooting for the wrong team, and your allegiance becomes in directions that are unhealthy. And it can happen 90% in your mind, 90% in just what you watch and what you listen to. And God says, I want your mind and your heart and your speech and your loyalty. I want you to see the things that are good and pleasant and beautiful and noble. I want you to set your mind on these things and not on things that pull you away.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Before we hear the rest of Chip's message, let me remind you that we are a listener-supported ministry. Your regular gifts help us create programs like this one, develop new resources, and encourage pastors globally. Prayerfully consider becoming a monthly partner today. Then go to livingontheedge.org to give a gift. Thanks so much for your support. We'll hear again as Chip.
One of the questions I try to ask myself, whether it's a conversation, whether it's a book, whether it's a movie, whether it's a series, as I'm in it, because there's a lot out there, is this experience drawing me closer to God or farther away? And when I find myself coming to, you know, this is not drawing me closer to God, that's when I say, okay, Lord, there's an allegiance issue. There's a loyalty issue. Help me. I don't know if you're listening carefully, but when you start going through speech and relationships and our values, it is really hard. It is somewhat overwhelming to live a pure and godly and holy life. But I think there might be a connection between, yes, it's hard, but it's possible, and the number of fellow believers that find themselves when a what if happens, their life craters. The cancer comes and they fall apart. The problem in the marriage gets difficult and they run and flee. They have an issue with one of their kids and everything falls apart. We can't be bold and we can't be courageous unless our lives are rooted in alignment with God. And Psalm 15 says, check these things out. The final one here, he says, what about your money? Behind it, it's more than interest. Are you using your money to help and encourage people? Or are you taking advantage of people with your money? And as I said earlier, there's probably nothing more revealing than knowing, where does your money go? About every 5 years or so, it's painful, but I have a financial planner, and he asked me to do a little exercise, and he says, you know, just for a month, just for 30 days. And I go, oh, no, I don't want to do that. I got a semi-budget, and things are working out okay. So, no, just for a month. I want you to track 100% of where all your money goes. Whether it's on a card here, just and in 30 days, write down all the categories of where it goes. Food here, entertainment here, giving over here, bought that over here. And don't feel guilty. All I want you to do is do a sober self-assessment of where does your money go. And even when I start in on that, like I'm 3 or 4 or 5 days into it, I'm starting to analyze, gosh, why am I spending this here or why I'm doing that here? And it's always revealing. And it just allows me to kind of reset and just stop and say, okay, this is how much money's coming in. And this portion is going here, and this is going here. And I had no idea I was spending that much money on, you name it, right? Sports, coffee, entertainment. Not bad things, but I just had no idea. So here's what the psalmist is saying to you and to me. God loves us so very, very much that he has created a means and a way called living a godly, righteous, or holy life, and that as we seek to do that imperfectly with a merciful and kind and compassionate Heavenly Father who really gets we won't be perfect, but as he sees the intention of our heart, as he sees a character of righteousness in general, of speech that we want to align that reveals a pure heart, with our money and with our relationships and with our values saying, Lord, I'm yours. I want my life, my speech, my values, my relationship to reflect the person of Jesus. And I know the journey will be forever and ever and ever, but I'm consistently leaning, moving toward doing that. He says, in my great grace, you'll never be shaken. And there is one passage that is a bit of a parallel to this. And this passage is a passage that I've memorized and talk about meditating I've gone over this one over and over and over, taking a walk, driving in my car, because it sets something up, but it gives me such hope. Listen carefully as Isaiah answers the question in chapter 33. In chapter 33, verse 14, the question is raised, who can live in the presence of God? The exact same question. And then he answers it in verse 15 and 16. He who walks righteously and speaks with sincerity, he who rejects unjust gain and shakes his hand so that they hold no bribe, he who stops his ears from hearing about bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking upon evil. That line alone, I cannot tell you how many times I've been on planes and I've started to watch a movie and I'm 10 minutes into it or 15 or 20, and it says, stops his ears from hearing about bloodshed, shuts his eyes from looking upon evil. And I click and I go, you know, Lord, that will not help me be the man you want me to be. I actually have to load stuff up on my iPad that will be good and encouraging and wise. Notice what he goes on to say. After you walk in righteousness, speak with sincerity, reject unjust gain, you stop your ears from hearing about bloodshed, and you shut your eyes from looking upon evil, listen to this. He will dwell on heights. His refuge will be the impregnable rock. His bread will be given him, and his waters will be sure. Do you get the picture? You can live above all the what-ifs because of something deep and powerful inside. It's the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and gives you a perspective and a relationship. And not only that, you'll be an impregnable rock. I mean, it's just like you are rock solid. You'll never be shaken. Could I encourage you to be bold and courageous? To say to God, I want to develop the most intimate relationship with you that I can. And I'm going to do an honest test and assessment of my life, my character, my speech, my values, my money. Because you made a promise through David. He who does these things will never be shaken. It will give you a sense of confidence, a sense of rock solid belief that you won't be moved. The world's going to move. The what if, some of them are going to come into your life. They're going to come into mine. But it's who you're connected to, the perspective you have, and the grace that is available that will allow you in the midst of that to not just survive, but to actually thrive. That's God's game plan. He's done it throughout history. He's done it in the Old Testament. He's done it in the New Testament. And he wants to do it in your life, and he wants to do it in mine. Never has the world needed these kind of followers of Jesus than right now.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram, and the message you just heard, I Will Not Be Shaken, Living in the Shadow of the Almighty, is from our series, Be Strong and Courageous. Chip will join us in studio to share some insights from today's talk in just a minute. Are you looking for a more resilient faith that can withstand life's harshest storms? If so, join Chip in his newest series as he dives into 8 impactful psalms with powerful lessons for all of us. Discover what these passages teach us about conquering our anxieties, tackling injustice, facing death with confidence, and more. Unlock the power of these timeless psalms to experience a life totally dependent on God. You're not going to want to miss a minute of this practical series. Well, Chip's back in studio with me, and Chip, great message today. Super practical, but you know, if I'm honest, it can be really hard to stand strong as followers of Christ when we face so much hostility every day. As you engage with believers across the country, how do you see them handling this pressure?
I think as Christians, we see two responses, neither of which is going to bring about long-term positive change. And one is a combativeness, an anger, a sort of the culture is the enemy. And the other is what I call, instead of being combatant, we capitulate. And so go with the flow. Who am I to judge? Let's just all be loving. And so the one has truth with no grace, and the other has grace with no truth. And so at Living on the Edge, we've spent the last 20 years developing resources, whether it's audio or books or teaching or my favorite, small group material, to help people live out truth and grace. And we've had very generous people partner with us to create all those resources, to pay for airtime, to hire staff. We are living in a day where if Christians do not live like Christians, we will see America go right down the tubes. And so there's never been a day when we need to do more and we can't do more without the prayers and the financial support of our Living on the Edge partners. And so if you've never given to Living on the Edge, let me tell you, now is a wonderful, wonderful time. We will be true to Scripture and we'll be true to equip people to live out both grace and truth and the power of the Holy Spirit. So thank you for those of you that support us. Please continue to do so. And for those of you that have not, I would highly encourage you, get on board today. We can make a difference together.
Thanks, Chip. If partnering with Living on the Edge is an idea that makes sense to you, we'd love to have you join us. Helping Christians live like Christians will change the world we live in. To give a gift, go to livingontheedge.org or call us at 888-333-6003. Again, that's 888-333-6003 or visit livingontheedge.org. App listeners, tap donate. And thanks for taking the time to help others benefit from the work of this ministry. You know, Chip, as you finished today's teaching, you hit on a few sensitive issues we all struggle with. So would you take a moment and walk back through those areas as we consider what we should do next?
Absolutely, Dave. I mean, one of the things about this passage, it is like an MRI for the soul. I mean, it reveals where we're really at with God. And we all have great levels of denial. I know I do. In fact, Teresa could tell you, my wife, about even deeper levels than most people would see. The heart of the Spirit of God in giving us Psalm 15 is not to put us down. It's to help us grasp and understand the level of holiness and righteousness that God wants. And so he starts with our character. Are you a man or a woman of integrity? Are there issues in your life that you know are wrong and you're not dealing with them? God wants you to come today and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to make that right now. Or how about your speech, your tone of voice, or sarcasm, or putting people down, or maybe foul language? Your speech always reveals what's going on in your heart. And again, the Holy Spirit wants to point that out. He wants you to confess it and come to him and say, Lord, I want my heart to be pure, and your word tells me that my speech is the rudder of my life. I have to get control of that. Or, you know, what about your values? Do you keep your word? And then finally, perhaps the most revealing thing about all of us is, where's your money going? Do you give the first portion of your money to God? Is money something that you realize is all his and you're a good steward of? Psalm 15 brings us back and forces us to ask ourselves, am I living and am I becoming the kind of person that can enjoy the deep power of God's Spirit working in me and through me? And now as we close, I'd like you in your heart to just quiet the RPMs and say, Lord, if you would just show me the next step where I need to address any of these issues, Lord, I want to tell you right now I'm listening. Bring it to my mind. And then I'm going to out loud confess it to you. And then before this hour is up, I'm going to either text or call someone that I really trust, and I'm going to confess to them that you spoke to me, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm committing to it. I'm going to ask them to give me a call in 24 hours to see if I did. Repentance brings life. It allows us to get realigned, recalibrates our soul. We all need forgiveness. Jesus said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, not just to forgive our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Thanks, Chip. And if you're ready to deepen your commitment to Jesus and strengthen your relationship with him, we have an incredible resource. Chip's book, True Spirituality, Becoming a Romans 12 Christian, offers a clear and practical guide to living as a genuine follower of Christ. Don't wait. Take this vital step in your spiritual journey today. Visit special offers at livingontheedge.org or the Chip Ingram app to order your copy now. Well, thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and I hope you'll join us again next time.